Yes, we're about to interview Professor John Tully. He is a historian and he's always been an activist as well. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mary and Chloe.
Good morning. And you've also got Steph on the line as well.
Also.
Yeah. So I'm going back to an article that you wrote in Green Left Weekly about public housing in Vienna. That was in 2023, but It's still so relevant today. You mentioned in your article that around 1,600 people become homeless every month. Apparently it's now something like 10,000 every month, or at least that's what I found in Google, if I can believe that. At present in Victoria, the Allan government is going to knock down public housing to provide space for private housing at the expense of the publicly owned Stockton and the tenants. Of course, this is going to lead to more people, especially very vulnerable people, being discarded into homelessness. You wrote about public housing in Vienna and that it maintains a vast system of public and cooperative housing, which accounts for more than 50% of the city's housing stock. Can you talk about the housing in Vienna in a bit more detail for us, please?
Yes. Unlike Australia and other sort of developed Western countries, which have been going down the privatisation road for decades now, Vienna quite consciously opposed privatisation and continued building municipal housing. So today, around 50% of Vienna's housing stock is publicly owned. And on top of that also, you have about 10%, which brings it to 60%. About 10% is cooperatively owned and managed. So there's a great difference between Australia, for instance, or Britain is the other example. I think by the 1950s, one in three dwellings was publicly owned, and that was thrown into reverse, of course, by Margaret Thatcher. And that was a Conservative Tory government. But here in Australia, as you pointed out, we have Labor governments which are going down the privatisation road, which is leading to this enormous problem of homelessness we're witnessing at the present time. So if we go back in Vienna to how this situation developed, and I'm not saying that it's perfect there, but what I am arguing is that it's much, much better than the situation that we have in Australia. We have to go back to 1919. Between 1919 and 1934, we had a period that was called known as Red Vienna, in which the Socialist Party government of the city, and it's basically a city-state, carried out massive reforms. They said it wasn't socialism because Vienna is a sort of progressive island in a very reactionary sea, rural hinterland sea. The city in 1919 was devastated by war. Homelessness was at shocking levels. There was enormous levels of poverty, disease, and the Socialist Party was elected to government in 1919, and they thought, we have to do something about this now. We can't wait till the socialist future. This is something that needs to be done because there's so much drastic need, so much poverty. So they embarked in the period of Red Vienna in a massive program of building houses, providing schools, welfare, kindergartens, etc., etc. And the flagship, of course, was the Karl Marx Hof, which still stands proudly today. It's an enormous apartment complex, publicly owned to this day. It's about 1.2 kilometres long, and that was the showcase. And, of course, the equivalent of the Murdoch Press of the day said that it was going to fall down because it wasn't being built by private contractors. It was built on reclaimed land, etc., etc. So between 1919 and 1934, this was the heyday of Red Vienna. And no one calls it Red Vienna anymore. And, of course, it's still enmeshed in the capitalist economy. But the foundations for what we see today were laid back then, and there was a conscious decision made, we will not go down the privatisation road. Sorry, I'm croaking a bit. I've got a bit of a throat infection.
Yeah, thanks, John. That's, just really, really interesting history. Are you able to also speak to that period where the fascists besieged the Karl Marx Hof and just of how that relates to...
During the 1930s, of course, the early 1930s, fascism was on the rise all over Europe. 1933, of course, we had Hitler. In the 1920s, before that, there was fascist Italy, and Austria was no different. And I think I mentioned before that Red Vienna was a sort of beacon of progress and social solidarity in a very reactionary sea. And in 1934, the Dollfuss clerical fascist government came to power. And of course, it hated what it saw in Vienna. Red Vienna had to go. And the workers of Vienna had what we could translate as the self-defense league, the Schutzstaffel, and they prepared to resist the fascists. They fortified the Karl Marx Hof. Alas, unfortunately, the fascists had the army. They turned the artillery on the Karl Marx Hof and other islands of socialist solidarity, and they stormed the Karl Marx Hof, and alas, it was taken. The survivors, many of them, if they weren't captured or shot, escaped through the sewers. So that was the beginning of a period of fascism in Italy, in Austria, between 1934 and 1945, basically, because later on, 1938, Hitler marched in too. And all sorts of horrible things were done to public housing, such as putting chapels in where there'd been libraries and putting fascist people in and evicting the tenants. And if they were Jewish, sending them off, of course, to the death camps. But after 1945, the Socialist Party was once again elected by a massive majority, and it started the what's known in German as the Gemeindebauten community housing projects once again, and they've continued that right up to the present day.
So our current politicians who are pulling down public housing are actually lining up with what the fascists did in Vienna. Anyway, bringing us back to the present, you also wrote in that article that something or more than 220,000 municipal apartments are being built, and the city is determined to keep building more, and that they've rejected the whole idea of privatisation, which seems to be the go in Australia. I know it's 2 years on since that article. I know also that you recently visited Vienna, like very recently. So I'm just wondering if that Vienna is still on that path, and are Austrians still so devoted to public housing?
Yes, I think we have to make a distinction between Vienna and Graz, the bigger cities, and the rest of the countries, because as you know, the far right has been on the rise in Austria too. But certainly in Vienna, I think that it's become part of the culture of the city, of the consciousness of people, that even middle class people live in the Gemeindebauten and the community housing. There's no stigma attached to it, and there is a stigma attached to it in Australia, the attitude that if you live in public housing you must be a loser. And that is definitely not the case in Vienna. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the case in the second largest city, Graz, which you probably know has a communist mayor, has had for the last few years, and housing is number one on the priority of the Communist Party of Austria, as well as it is of the City Council Socialist Social Democratic government of Vienna. So, yes, they definitely are committed to it. It's part and parcel of the warp and woof of the city, and they're determined they're going to continue down that road. And let's hope that the fascists, the OVP, the so-called Austrian People's Party, are kept at arm's length in Austria, because they would throw all of this into reverse if they got into government in a coalition with the, how could we call it, the Conservative Party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the cards just at the moment, but it's a threat.
Yeah. So what lessons do you think we can draw from this in Australia? Is high density, medium density the solution, or what should we be, what do you think we should be doing here?
As far as, well, Vienna is a very compact city. It has a population of about 1.8 million. It's actually less than it the end of the Habsburg Empire in 1918-1919. And housing is high density. And it's something I think, another hat that I used to wear, I was a geography teacher many years ago, and I remembered going on excursions with my students out to the belt of arable land around Melbourne and thinking we cannot continue to gobble up this prime arable agricultural land. And I think we have to go down the road of higher density housing as European cities do. That's my opinion on that. I think there are some moves by governments, sort of maybe half-hearted moves for higher density housing, but I think it's something that we really have to take up. And the other thing clearly is there has to be a push for community housing, for publicly owned housing, cooperative housing, as against this market fundamentalist idea that we have, that many people have, that we have to go down the privatisation road, which is, as you pointed out, is absolutely disastrous. We have a colossal housing crisis, and market fundamentalism can never come to terms with that. It can only make it worse.
Yeah. So I just wonder also about tree canopy loss. So high density housing, perhaps in the CBD, because we don't have that many trees already, although maybe we should be thinking about whether we need more. But in some of the suburbs, you often see a block of land that is sold where there was a garden, there were lots of trees, and then the next day the bulldozers come in and everything is gone, every blade of grass, every tree, which is just adding to the climate problems as well. So I don't know how we marry the two. Do you have any ideas on that?
I suppose I'm talking completely off the top of my head, but clearly we have to plant more trees, and we cannot continue down the road of some of these McMansions where sometimes beautiful old houses in Melbourne have been knocked down. They've had beautiful grounds, and these mansions are built that take up every square inch of the footprint of that land. I mean, that just clearly has to stop.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing, I suppose, again, is a conflict between community and environmental needs and the needs, if I can call them needs, of private developers who are interested. They're not interested in social issues. They're not interested in ecology. It's profit that motivates them. So, yeah.
So maybe communities need to be involved in the design of buildings and how much space they take up, and allowing for a tree canopy to exist and be expanded.
Yes, I think so. And of course, that goes down to the council level. And what it means is we have to have more Greens, socialists, progressive councillors, as against people who represent the interests of basically of these landlords and developers and sharks, basically.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we finish up, John?
Yes. One thing I neglected to mention was people always ask, where's the money going to come from? And what they did in Vienna, in the heyday of Red Vienna, they introduced a whole raft of progressive taxes, the Breitner taxes, named after the treasurer who was thinking them up. And they put taxes on luxury goods, on commercial developments. And one thing that I thought was delicious was they taxed rents. That's rental income, not the rents themselves paid by the people living in the houses, but they taxed the rental incomes of, and they used this to create housing, low cost housing, and at the same time there were caps imposed on rents so that the landlords wouldn't just jack up the rent to pay for the increase. So I think that when people say, where's the money going to come from, we need a total rethink in Australia about taxation. We don't need people like the Albanese government who caved in to those disgraceful regressive taxes that were imposed by Scott Morrison. We need to totally tighten up all the tax loopholes, the negative gearing, the whole of those sorts of things. Capital gain tax should be brought in, you know, to really hammer those things and use that money for socially responsible and ecologically responsible development.
Thank you.
For human needs.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, John. Absolutely interesting to hear your opinions. Thank you for getting up so early to speak with us today.
Okay, and thanks for having me, Mary. And best of luck, incidentally, with the... I understand you had some problems with balance, with crystals in the ear.
Yes, the ear crystals. I think some of our listeners might know about that. When the crystals come out of where they're supposed to be in your ear canal and you become dizzy and nauseous. I had that yesterday, but
yes.
I'm okay.
Quite alarming.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Have a good day.
So we were just speaking with Professor John Tully, a historian and activist, talking about the importance of public housing, but also referring to public housing in Vienna. And he wrote a really good article. If people want to refer back to it, it's called Vienna's Affordable Housing in Vienna, Not a Utopian Dream, or something like that.
Wait. Yeah, it was November 2023.
Yeah, but yeah. Still very relevant today. Yeah. In Vienna, secure, affordable housing is not a utopian dream. Check it out.
Yeah.